Good morning. Good morning. It's good that we can gather together in worship. Let's join in the call to worship from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will exalt you. We do give thanks to our God. That's why we're gathered this morning. Let's take a moment to prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you. Please join us for the prayer of invocation. Merciful God, as we enter Holy Week and gather at your house of prayer, turn our hearts again to Jerusalem, to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that, united with Christ and all the faithful, we may one day enter in triumph the city not made by human hands, the new Jerusalem, eternal in the heavens, where with you and the Holy Spirit, Christ lives in glory forever. Amen. Please, everyone, join each other in greeting each other this morning.
You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sins. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. I'm running to your arms, the riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever reign. My heart will sing, no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name, Jesus, Jesus. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign.
Ugh. I messed up.
You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be. You are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You were King of the heavens before there was time, and King of all kings you will be. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. King of all kings you will be. And King of all kings you will be.
Please join us to the call to confession. Like the people who greeted Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and then later pronounced, "Crucify him," we are fickle people who often deny Christ in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Remembering the events of Jesus' last week, help us see ourselves for what we are, sinners, in need of a Savior. A Savior, praise. Praise God. We have in Christ, in honesty and hope, we confess now our sins to God. Please join us in silent prayer. Please join us for the prayer of confession. Jesus, our Lord, we shout hosannas to praise you. With eager hands, we place our cloaks and palms on the path before you. Yet, Lord, we confess that the monks who seek to praise you often deny or defy you. And we confess that the hands that seeds to serve you often becomes fists. Forgive us and make us new by your Holy Spirit. Amen. The Declaration of Forgiveness. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Hosanna. Amen.
Thank you. If you want to come over here for the children's sermon, we're going to transition right into that. Thanks for praising the Lord for us with the palms this morning. That's so cool. Do you guys know why we do that? Why, Henry? It's Palm Sunday. And what happened on Palm Sunday? Exactly. I don't know if everyone heard that, but he got the story exactly right. So Jesus rode in on a donkey, and people took palm branches, and they were waving them to signify that Jesus was coming as the new king. But today we're going to keep talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Who can remind me of the five fruits? Can you give me one, Ezra?
Love.
Love.
Joy.
Peace. Peace. We're going in order so far. Do you remember one? Starts with a P.
Patience.
Patience. And last week we did... Anyone else? Kindness. Great job. And today we're going to talk about goodness. And I brought something with me. You might see what it is. What is it, Henry?
Candle. I have
those. Yeah, it's a candle. It's a fake candle, but it's a candle. And what do candles do? Who knows?
Light up. They light up.
They light up. They give us light. If all of the lights went down right now, what would happen? What would it be in here?
Dark.
It would be really dark. Yeah. And then what would we use? Maybe.
Candles.
We would use candles. Yeah, we have candles up there. And did you know that in Jesus' day, they didn't have all these fancy lights?
Yeah.
They didn't have all these fancy lights. So what would they use instead? They would use candles. They would use fire, would give them light, because fire gives off light for us. And Jesus, a couple times in the Bible, he talks about how we are supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the light. Just like candles give us light, he says we're supposed to give the world light. And he says one time that we can give the world light by showing them good deeds. What do you guys think would be a good deed? A good thing to do?
Helping God.
Helping God, yeah. How might we help God? Yeah, by following his Ten Commandments, which are to love one another. What else could we do? Yeah, if they got hurt. If someone's hurt, we can help them out. We can care for one another. Those are all great good deeds. And when we do good deeds, when we show goodness, that is part of how we show light to a world that's sometimes kind of dark. Do you think the world's sometimes kind of dark? Yeah, I think it is. Sometimes there's bad things out there. There's people that aren't very nice. But we can show Christ by doing good deeds and being a light to other people. Do you guys remember I gave you something about 4 weeks ago? A fish. Yes, I gave you a fish. What kind of fish? It's a weird thing to give someone a fish. A paper fish. It's a fish bank. What do we put in the fish bank?
Money.
Money. And what were we going to do with that money? Does anyone remember?
We're going to give it to some people who are poor.
Yeah, we're going to give it to people who maybe don't have a lot of money. We're going to give it to mission projects, and they're going to go help people get housing. They're going to share Jesus' love with them. They're going to be a light to the world. They're going to do good deeds and show God's goodness by helping out other people. Now, those fish banks that I gave you, did you all remember you had them? No? Yeah. That's what I thought. Well, now you remember that you have them. And if you don't have one, you can come see me or Winona, and we'll get you another one after the service, okay? And we're going to fill them up, or if you lost yours, come get another one. And you're going to bring them back next week, or the week after if you forget. And we're going to collect all of that money so that we can take it and we can give it to people who need it more than we do. And by that way, we can show God's light to the world. Just like you can show God's light to the world by doing good deeds and showing his goodness in your everyday lives at school and at home and by loving those around you. Does that make sense? Do you guys think you can fill up your banks this week?
No.
No? I think you can. I believe in you. You're going to find that change and fill them up. Ask your parents, ask around. People will want to give you money to put in your fish banks. More than change is also good, too. Okay, will you guys pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, thank you for your goodness and for Jesus coming. Help us to show your goodness and your light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up this morning. You can leave the palms on the stage. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward and receive the morning offering. Happy birthday.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, creator of all things. Through your goodness, you've blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Did you know that if you change one thing in a service, I screw it all up? We were supposed to do prayer instead of taking the offering. So thanks, ushers and Winona, for being ready for my mistake, and Carissa. So let's go back. Let's take some time and pray together now, because we don't want to skip prayer. There's one additional prayer request this morning to add, which is Rasta Boys is having emergency surgery today, an abdominal surgery. Doesn't sound life-threatening, but it was urgent enough that they wanted to get it done today. So we'll be in prayer for him as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so glad that we can come into your presence and that we can gather before you, that we can bring our joys and our concerns, we can lay them at your feet, trusting that you are at work in each one. We praise you, Lord, for the ways that we see you at work in our world. We celebrate with the Shrums in the birth of Trip. We thank you for that new life. We pray that you would raise him up in your way, that he would come to know and trust you and follow you with his life. Recognize the ways that you've created this wonderful world and that you've equipped him to be a follower of you and to be at work in your kingdom. Pray for his parents. Give them wisdom as they guide him and as they teach him. We pray for all of the parents in the congregation, Lord. It is a high calling to care for children. So we ask that you would give us wisdom, that you would help us to know how to love our children well and teach them well, that we would help them to come to know you and trust you. We pray for Mabel this morning and ask that you would continue to give her strength. We thank you for good progress, and we pray that she would continue to recover from surgery and gain strength, that she might soon be able to come home and be with her family here in their home. And we ask that you would give the doctors wisdom as they make decisions on how best to encourage her and treat her. We pray for the family of Paula Vanderlei. We ask that you'd be near them as they mourn and remember. And ask that you'd be with Mindy and show your comfort, your graciousness to her in these days. And we ask that you would encourage each one as they rest in the hope of your goodness and your grace. We pray that that'd be very evident right now, Lord. We pray for Laverne and Carissa and Marla, Linda, Mike, Reese, Tedra, Sue, Christy, Mercedes, Yasio, Rena, and Sophie. We ask, Lord, that you would give each one strength, that you would give them the healing that they need, that you would continue to walk with them. I've heard from many of them your faithfulness, Lord, and your goodness, even in hard times. And so I pray that you would continue to be at work there. Help us as a community to support and encourage them as well. We pray for the search team as we look for an associate pastor. We ask that you'd give us wisdom and discernment and clarity. We thank you for the people that you've called into ministry who we've been able to meet and talk with and the ways that you're using them for your kingdom purposes. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to know clearly who you've called to be here with us and join us in the ministry that you've called us to. We pray, Lord, that you'd equip us until then as a church, that we would be reaching out, caring for our neighbors, proclaiming your goodness in Marshalltown. We pray that the churches of Marshalltown would have a huge impact on this city, allowing it to be a place where your love and grace are proclaimed boldly and where people are drawn into your kingdom. We pray for Israel, Palestine, South Sudan, and Ukraine. We ask that you would be bringing peace to those places, Lord, that you would bring an end to the fighting, that you would equip the people that are bringing aid and who are relieving the effects of these wars on the poor. We pray that you would equip those groups with all that they need, keep them safe, give peace talks, the energy that they need, Lord, to carry on, that we would see resolutions to these conflicts and that we would see peace come about in your world. Because that's your heart, Lord. You have a heart for peace. You're a God of peace. And so we pray that you'd be bringing about peace even now. We pray, Lord, that you would be at work here in our church and in our homes bringing peace. You would help us to be people of reconciliation, that we would be bringing people together and helping them to understand and relate well. We pray over Wellspring Mission. We ask that you'd continue to bless the work that goes on in South Sudan. Even as Wellspring steps back, we're grateful for the groups that they've equipped to drill wells and fix wells. We pray that you'd bless those groups. Give Wellspring wisdom as they make decisions on what they're called to do and how you're using them in this world for your name's glory. Help them to know exactly what it is that you've called them to do. We pray for the rest of our missionaries. We ask that you give them opportunities this week to clearly and boldly proclaim your name and to show your love to those around them. And we pray that for each person in this building, that this week we would have opportunity to share about who you are and what you're doing in our lives, because you are doing great things, and we're excited about what you're doing, Lord, and we want to join you in it. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We won't take another offering. Let's go instead to Matthew 21. If you want to open up your Bibles there with me. We're pausing on 1 Samuel for a couple weeks because of Holy Week here with Palm Sunday today and Easter next week, of course. We'll come back to 1 Samuel and have a couple more sermons from 1 Samuel after Holy Week, kind of wrap up the series a little bit. We won't finish the book, unfortunately, but we will wrap up the series a bit. So we're looking this morning at Matthew 21, and we're going to go a couple other places as well as we go. But I want to start by reading the passage for the day, Matthew 21, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." I want you to try your best to imagine this moment with me. The Jews have been under Roman oppression for a long time. None of the people who are alive then remember a time before Roman rule. But they knew the promises. They'd waited for this Messiah for a long time, and they knew that one day a Messiah would come and deliver God's people from oppression and from the evil of the ungodly. They were gathered on this day for the beginning of Passover week, when they remembered God's deliverance from Egypt. That moment when they were slaves in Egypt, and God came with power, with the plagues, and drew them up out of Egypt. He brought them to the Red Sea, and when all seemed lost, he split the sea before them. They walked through on dry ground, and the waters crashed back over their enemy, wiping out the evil behind them. So you can start to imagine their excitement when Jesus starts riding a donkey into Jerusalem. You can imagine them, one of them leaning over to another and saying, "There he is. Did you know that he made a blind guy see last week? Yeah, he's healed all sorts of people. And have you heard him teach? He's amazing. He speaks with true authority. He has to be the one." Another person standing there, and he says, "Look, he's coming on a donkey, just like Zechariah had said the Messiah would. Zechariah told us that our king would come righteous and victorious, yet humble and riding on a donkey, and even on a donkey's colt, and there he is." Jesus didn't come on a war horse, of course, but he's still coming as king and Messiah. He's actually emulating Solomon. Solomon rode into Jerusalem on a mule many years earlier. He rode up to his coronation on a mule. So Jesus was acting like a king. He also came from the Mount of Olives, riding into Jerusalem. The prophets had promised that the Messiah would come from the Mount of Olives. So the people are excited. You can imagine them yelling, "Jesus is the Messiah! He's the new king of Israel! Quick, cut some palm branches and lay them on the road. Take off your coat. It might not be much, but we need to roll out the red carpet somehow." They're calling out those famous words, "Hosanna! Blessed be the Son of David, the new king of Israel. Hosanna to God who has given us a new king." They're excited because Jesus is coming to cleanse Jerusalem. They think to themselves, "Finally, he will judge the ungodly and remove the wicked from our holy city. He will drive out the Romans." They're cutting palm branches from the trees, right? The palm branches around them. The palm branch was a symbol of the Maccabees, the last people who drove out the ungodly from Jerusalem, the ones who drove out the Greeks and took back the temple, took their city back, and ruled themselves for a while. They're waving these palm branches around as a symbol of their independence, of who they are as Jews. I can't help but think of Psalm 24. God's deliverer has come. The Son of David has arrived, and so a psalm of David rings in our ears. "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. What a moment. The king has finally arrived to establish his kingdom, to establish a holy and righteous kingdom of believers. This amazing moment reminds me of another biblical passage, a passage from the book of Revelation. The truth is that almost every passage I read from the Bible anymore reminds me of Revelation, because Revelation is the capstone of the Bible. It retells the story of the Bible and of human history in really profound ways if we have eyes to see it. It also tells us some things about the future, but that's for another day. The part that I was thinking about is Revelation 4 and 5. Remember that Revelation is a vision that God gives to John. And in Revelation 4, he sees a throne room with one seated on the throne. And he sees 24 elders gathered around the throne and some living creatures there too. And all these creatures and these elders are bowing down before the throne, and the elders are laying their crown before him and praising God who sits on the throne. And then in Revelation 5, John sees that the one seated on the throne is holding a scroll. And the scroll is all sealed up. It has seals on it. And the scroll contains God's plan, God's next steps. But only one who is worthy can open the scroll. There has to be one who has the authority and the power to carry out God's plan, to open up the seals. And there's a mighty angel there with God, and the angel calls out, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And so John weeps because no one is worthy to open the scroll. Then one of the elders says to John, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." And that's the moment that reminds me of the triumphant entry and of Psalm 24. Finally, the mighty king arrives to open the scroll. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the triumphant one. We know who this is. This is Jesus, the long-awaited king. Open up the ancient gates that he may come in and open the scroll and carry out the plan of God. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. This is who the people are praising on that day as he enters into Jerusalem as king, like Solomon, the son of David. He's the one they praise, for he will carry out the plan of God. But we have to read the next sentence of Revelation 5. And it says this, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. The lamb takes the scroll, and the elders and the creatures around the throne worship the lamb. The lamb that's had its throat cut. The lamb that's been sacrificed." See, John loves this literary device where he first tells us what he heard, and then he tells us what he saw, and they're two different things, and he says, you're supposed to bring them together and understand that they're one thing. They're not different things, they're two ways of describing the same thing. He hears the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he sees a lamb who's had its throat cut. And John wants us to understand that both are true. The lion of Judah is the lamb who was sacrificed. The sacrificial lamb is the long-awaited Messiah who's bringing God's rule. So the elders fall down and worship the sacrificed lamb, and they say, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." The elders say it is because of the crucifixion, it is because the Lamb was slain, that he was able to ransom us by his blood and make us a kingdom to God. This is where the people gathered on Palm Sunday go wrong. They get a lot of things right about who Jesus is, but they make the wrong assumption about where this donkey is taking him. They probably guess that the donkey is taking him right to the Roman fortress. So there's a Roman fort in Jerusalem, right next to the temple. And it's there so that the Romans can watch the temple activities. After all, they're willing to let the Jews worship their own God. But the Romans had to okay the high priest every year. And they would be ready in their fortress if any of the Jewish priests or leaders ever started talking too much about politics or encouraging the people to stand up to the Romans. So the Jewish people probably thought Jesus was headed to that fortress. After all, this is where the lion of the tribe of Judah, the son of David, should go to kick out the Romans, to purify the city, to begin his reign. But that's not where a sacrificial lamb goes. Listen to this. This is the next verse of Matthew 21. We read 1 through 11. This is verse 12. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. How surprised the people must have been when Jesus started to get near the Roman fortress and then he turned into the temple courtyard instead. Think how surprised they would have been when he started flipping tables there and driving out the money changers and the animals, because Jesus did show up to judge the ungodly. He did come to create a people for God, which is why he goes to the temple first, because the people there aren't really following God. The money changers are obsessed with the letter of the law. See, the law of Moses told them they had to pay a temple tax. And they said, well, that's fine and that's good, but we don't want to pay it with pagan money that has the Greek leaders or the Roman leaders on it. Instead, we want you to use temple money. So they had to have it exchanged. And the money changers in the process took advantage of the people. They charged high rates. They did it in the area where the Gentiles were supposed to be able to pray. So Jesus judges the ungodly. He lets the Romans be in their tower next door, and he focuses on these people who are charging the poor to pray and taking up the court of the Gentiles to do it. He judges them and throws them out of the temple. Now that shouldn't have been surprising to people. After all, his kingdom has always been upside down. I mean, he shows up as an infant in a barn. He doesn't grow up in a tutored palace. Instead, he grows up with commoners in a small village. He spends his ministry caring for the poor and the downtrodden. He's called out the religious leaders for valuing the law and the sacrificial system over people and over relationship with God. He's called time and again for a renewed relationship with God and with neighbor. And he's called all kinds of people into the kingdom of God. He's made it clear that the kingdom of God is not for those who think they are perfect or clean or holy. It's for the hurting and the downtrodden, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus consistently calls out the super religious people because they are not actually living the right way. They're working for their own glory. Jesus instead speaks to prostitutes and says, "I really appreciate you because you've changed your ways." He thinks of caring friends, of faithful parents, of truthful doubters and persistent foreigners. Jesus' judgment comes down on the unrighteous, those who think they are good, those who think they're all set without Jesus. Those are the ones he comes to judge in this case. It's the sacrificial lamb that rides into Jerusalem. And he knows he's headed to his own sacrifice, to be enthroned on a Roman cross. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the son of David, dies, and his blood covers us. It washes us clean and makes us righteous. See, Jesus comes as the suffering servant. He enters Jerusalem as the condemned conqueror, the king willingly going to his death. And that amazes me. I hope it amazes you, because as humans, we want the accolades and the applause. We want to avoid pain and suffering. We seek the power of the lion, but we worship a lion who is also a lamb. So when we say that we want to become like Jesus, this is what we mean. We're to follow the sacrificial way of the cross, serving others, helping others discover life in Jesus' shed blood. My point this morning is this: the story of the triumphal entry should make us pretty uncomfortable. The simple fact that Jesus enters Jerusalem and goes to the temple, the place of worship, should make us a bit uncomfortable here in our churches. The Jews misunderstood Jesus. They really wanted the lion. The lion sounded pretty good to them, not so much the lamb. Which begs the question, which one do we want? How do we desire both? How have you and I changed Jesus into who we want him to be? How have we simplified him or made him a little easier to handle? How have we changed his call on our lives into something more manageable? Because we do. We take this complex person who's both lion and lamb, who's king and sacrifice, and we say, that seems really hard. I think I'd prefer something easier. We remake God in our image. We'll gather again on Maundy Thursday, and we'll hear the mandate from Jesus. That's why it's called Maundy, right? Mandate. Love one another as I have loved you. He's loved us as lion and lamb, one who used his power to serve and to sacrifice for others. So let us spend this week and our lives loving others like Jesus loves us, sacrificing for others as Jesus sacrificed himself for us. Let's pray together. Jesus, it amazes us that you are both lion and lamb, that you can be the king of all, yet willing to give up yourself for everyone. We pray this week that you would help us to express that in our words and in our actions, to show that we live for your glory, because we can't understand how you would live and die and rise again that way, but we know that it demands our whole selves in response. So help us to live wholeheartedly for you this week, Lord. Help us to glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and join in singing All Glory, Laud, and Honor. bunch of announcements, so why don't you have a seat? First one is join us for fellowship time. There's coffee and donuts back there in the fellowship hall. And then there are the services listed out for this week in the bulletin. Next one being Maundy Thursday. There's a potluck at 5, worship at 6. We'd love to have you join us for those two things. And then the Community Good Friday service is at DeJardin Hall at 6:30. A bunch of churches getting together. It'll be a really good time. I anticipate that DeJardin Hall will be quite full, so you might want to make sure you arrive on time if you want to get a seat. And then you'll see the services listed for next Sunday as well, for Easter. Carissa, do you want to come up and talk about small groups? And then Joe and Diana, you'll be up after her.
Hello. If you filled out the form that you were interested in small groups, you should have received an email this week. If you did not receive an email, please let me know. So we have the Gentle and Lowly Bible Study will be starting the week right after Easter, so first week of April. And the two times for that will be probably, unless people want to change it and it works for everyone, will be Monday night, 6:30 to 7:30, and then Wednesday lunch, 11:30 to 12:30. So that's designed to be a flexible book study. I forgot to bring the books up, but I will go get them. They're in my office. So if you signed up for that, or if you're interested, come let me know, and you'll get a book today, so you can start reading. And then if you are interested in the Bible study, right now we're right on the cusp of being able to form two Bible studies, but we only really have enough for one when people were all able to meet. And that will be 6:30 to 8 on Tuesday nights, the 2nd and 4th. So not every week, but every other week. If you are interested in that, let me know as well. It's possible that we would be able to form an earlier time one if we have a few more people interested. But for right now, that's what we're starting. So let me know if you didn't fill out the form or if you didn't receive an email and you did fill out the form, but you're still interested, and I will try and get you plugged in. But those are the options. And see me after church for your copy of the book of Gentle and Lowly if you're doing that.
And the book is, you don't have to pay for it. It's a free will donation sort of thing. So if you want to donate for the cost of the book, we decided $10, is that correct? But otherwise, we've bought them already, and you're welcome to just use them. Joe, why don't you come up? Joe Brummel is going to talk about, or Diana is going to come up. All right. Yeah, probably not. I think we need to make Sunday school still happen, right? Diana's going to come up and talk about camp this summer.
Good morning. Thank you for having us this morning. One of the things, you guys are so fortunate here. You have two great camps to choose from, to send the kids to, and you can't go wrong, I don't think, with either one. Camp is such an important part, can be such an important part of kids' lives, a place they can come and make faith their own, and Jesus comes and speaks to them individually. So I encourage you to send them to a camp somewhere. Of course, we would love to have them at Lakeview, but again, you have a couple of great options, so do that. What I want to challenge you all, though, we're getting some great kids from your church, and we love having them. Come check out the grandparent camps. If you've not done that, especially if you have first and second graders that are unsure about coming to camp, grandparents, you should be coming with them. It's so awesome. We have three grandparent camps. One is completely full. The other two are getting close, but that's how much fun they are. We offer three of them, and they're almost all full. So I would love to see some grandparents. Wouldn't you like to see some of these guys coming to camp? So come and ask me some questions about that. It's not as scary as maybe sounds. Like, you don't have to, like, go hiking for 3 hours or anything like that. It's really not required. So come and check it out. Ask us questions. I know that Joe's going to be helping, I think, with opening exercises for the kids this morning, so he'll get his time in there. But come and see us in the back, and thank you for all the support that you give to Lakeview Camp.
Let's watch the video, right?
Watch it. It's a blink. It's real fast. So.
Okay.
So there's information in the back on both Lakeview and Lakeshore back there, and then Joe and Diana will be in the fellowship hall if you'd like to talk with them if you have questions about any of that stuff. Last announcement is I wanted to say a huge thank you to everybody who came to the work day yesterday. We got some really good work done. This is a big property. There's always things to do. If you weren't able to make it yesterday, but you're like, hey, I'd love to help sometime when it fits better in my schedule, we are always open to that help. There are always tasks to be done. Talk to Steve Anderson or Don Feld or me, and we will equip you to do some of that work around here. Our property committee does a lot, and they could always use some help. So make sure you tell a property committee member thank you sometime for all that they do, and think about ways that you can maybe help them out. Would you stand for the benediction? May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he might send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.